Welcome to Everybody Can, a conversation about volunteers and volunteer opportunities in Jefferson and Clallam counties. I'm your host, Missy Nielsen, career counselor and committed community volunteer. Our show is inspired by the words and spirit of Dr. Martin Luther King, "Everybody can be great because everybody can serve." We bring you information about the people who volunteer, serve on boards, donate, and sometimes just show up to help build what King called a beloved community. And Jefferson Land Trust is indeed a beloved part of this community. From wildlife habitats and watersheds to working farms and forests, they work to preserve some of Jefferson County's most important places. Understanding the confluence of preservation, place, and the people who inhabit this place we call home, Rebecca Koronowski, Engagement Coordinator, works to foster community relationships through outdoor education, restoration, and monitoring projects. Perhaps you might recognize her name if you recently attended their virtual program, Nature in Your Neighborhood. Welcome, Rebecca.
Thank you so much, Missy. I'm happy to be here.
My goodness, you guys had a phenomenal program recently, and that's how I came across your name. Nature in Your Neighborhood is part of the Jefferson Land Trust Save Farmlands program. Could you talk a little bit about this virtual education program?
Sure, I would love to. So as we're all aware, we're in a very interesting time right now, and Nature in Your Neighborhood is kind of the result of what is the new buzzword of pivoting. So normally in the springtime, we have a natural history course called Tidelands to Timberline, which hosts about 18 community members as participants or students in the program. And we start at the Tidelands and learn about the different habitats all the way up to the timberline. And unfortunately, this year we had to cancel due to COVID-19 restrictions. And after that, we came to a discussion point and decided that we could do something online. And that's really when the co-creator of Nature in Your Neighborhood, Heather Harding, and I started a partnership to put together some online programming that brings that same sense of community and adventure into people's homes. And so we chose to focus on the habitats that are closest to people where they could walk. And that's how Nature in Your Neighborhood was born.
I'm telling you, I cannot believe how phenomenal that program was. After speaking with you, I attended one of your online programs, and I was so struck by what is before me that I've never seen before, fresh eyes, if you will. And then did I understand, so you presented it one day a week, folks went out on their own, and then you recapped. Could you frame up a little bit about the weekly, you know, outline, if you will?
Absolutely. So every Friday, we started with a new topic in our virtual nature walk. And these were led by volunteer naturalists in our community on a specific topic, like birds or trees or mammals. And so each Friday we would start out with that virtual nature walk, and the naturalists would guide us through some of the common things that we would see in our neighborhoods. And then the following Friday, preceding the next virtual nature walk, we would come together as a group to discuss what we saw. And we would use tools on Zoom like breakout groups, which allow people to have small conversations with three or four other people so that they could talk about what they saw and learned. And we would also use polls and chats and ways for people to share and connect what they were learning with the rest of the community. And then occasionally, roughly every other Wednesday, we would host events called Extending Your Reach, which were really topics that we had volunteers that were willing and able to present on, but they didn't quite fit the narrative of a virtual nature walk, but we couldn't help ourselves and pass up the opportunity to include those topics like shorelines or local geology, which are not as easily studied in our neighborhoods. And so we added on that extra bit to the series so that we could enjoy those topics as well. And then throughout the week, we had a Facebook group that was available for people to interact and share their observations that way. And we also had a special email address that people could send their questions to get directly to the lead naturalists or other volunteers that we had on board to answer participants' questions.
You know, Rebecca, I attended one of them, and it was such a rich experience. And for myself, I found it incredibly helpful to have one, a moderator, so that the instructor could really focus on their information. And two, the text materials at my fingertips for future use. I'm thinking when there is a time when my family might return to this area for a visit, or if I should have a visitor, it's such a great resource to showcase the rich lands that we have near us that Jefferson Land Trust worked so hard to preserve. It really was amazing. Now, can you tell me, I'm sure you've done some statistical analysis now, how many people do you think attended? What do you know about the numbers of folks you've touched with this program?
Yeah, so this program by the numbers is by far and wide the Land Trust's most successful program to date. So at this current time, and these numbers are continuing to rise, we have over 700 people on the mailing list that have signed up to be a part of this program. We gave folks the opportunity to watch the program either live during the Zoom sessions or after the event via recordings. And between those two ways of joining in, we have over 4,000 views of the recordings and live events.
My goodness, this is an incredible template, which we could all look to if we have extended times where we can't be together, or it is an extension of the work you do in a different way that could reach folks that may have an affinity for the Olympic Peninsula and live somewhere in Kansas. Have you talked a bit about how you might grow this kind of format?
Yeah, we have a little bit, and I'll just speak to that briefly. You know, there's no way we could have ever brought 700 people on the trail and had it be a meaningful experience for the participants and have that trail be intact afterwards. And so this format, while it was, you know, it came about because we had to pivot and we had to find new ways to connect with people, it turns out that it actually is something that is useful and beneficial even in under normal circumstances because we can reach such a wide audience. So for example, Heather's family lives in California, and they were able to tune into the program. My family lives in Ohio, and they were able to tune into the program. And, you know, we had people from Seattle and Whidbey Island and other places that normally wouldn't be able to just pop over for, you know, a Saturday afternoon walk, but they could because we were using this format. And so we anticipate that we will continue in some fashion with this program in the fall. We're using the next couple of months to reconfigure, catch our breath here after this sprint that we've had, and determine what we would like to do in the fall. So we'll be sending out a post-program survey to all of our participants to find out what they liked, what worked, what didn't, so that we can continue to use this platform into the future.
Well, if you are just joining us, you are listening to KPTZ 91.9 Radio. This is Missy Nielsen of Everybody Can, and we're talking to Rebecca Koronowski from the Jefferson Land Trust, another one of our phenomenal nonprofit organizations who have demonstrated how to be nimble in the midst of much change. Rebecca, you were talking about reflecting on a completed program, The Nature in Your Neighborhood, and I was thinking a bit about what did it take to be nimble? What was the largest learning curve for you as an organization? I mean, the technology I'm thinking about, but what would you tell our listeners is the most, I don't know, the exciting challenge you may have faced in putting this program together?
Definitely. Yeah, you touched on it there. The technology was our biggest learning curve by far. I sometimes joke that I am the resident millennial at Jefferson Land Trust, and so I have a knack for tech, and I found it personally very rewarding to get to learn how to use this platform. And so a lot of the time spent in preparing for the program was in one-on-one, or in some cases, multiple presenters would join in with us to practice using Zoom. Our presenters put in an incredible amount of time in preparing for these presentations, but normally they can just show up and do because they live and breathe wildlife tracking, or they live and breathe birds. But in this case, a lot of the prep work was on the format and not on the content. And so we spent hours together preparing to be able to present the information in a way that not only that people could understand it, but that it was interactive and that it fostered community. That was something that we really wanted to focus on, was making sure that this was something that brought people together in this time.
You know, I also think on that technology piece, having attended the session, the moderator and the customer service, for lack of a better term, was incredible, because if you've done all that work to communicate and cultivate community, but you have a partner who isn't able to access that Zoom, or that skill set is new to them, I thought that was remarkable. That was thought through and included, where you could have kind of an offline support system for your students or your fellow naturalists, if you will.
Yeah. We've really been thinking about accessibility lately and what that means to be accessible. And, you know, with this program, we're able to Zoom right into people's homes and meet them where they are. And so we really wanted to make sure that we were fostering a space that was accessible to as many people as possible.
Well, your focus on community conservation and just this idea of being resilient, we have another opportunity to connect with you coming up soon. You have an event, a virtual event you're planning?
We do. It's called Together Fest, and it's on July 23rd.
And could you tell us a little bit more about that?
I would love to. So we're going to take everything that we know and love about Zoom, that we've learned through Nature in Your Neighborhood, and apply that to our upcoming virtual gala. And so Together Fest, we'll have Luke Burbank as our host, who is the host of the podcast Too Beautiful to Live and the show Live Wire. We're very excited to have him, and he will be leading us through a series of inspiring stories and views from the land in what we're calling our Magical Mystery Tour. We'll also have games and prizes. There will be some guest cameos. Maybe some animal friends will be joining us. And it really will be an opportunity for our community, again, to join together and to connect in this new platform that we're using.
And how can we do that? Can you give us the contact information for that?
Absolutely. So the easiest way to learn more about the event would be to go to www.saveland.org/fest. You can also email me at info@saveland.org with questions.
You've done such a great job focusing on building community. And I know one of the parts that we focus on this program are volunteer opportunities. And that's been a little bit challenging while socially distanced. It sounds like you might have some opportunity for us to come alongside in ways as you plan forward for other programs. Could you talk a little bit about what that might look like in our virtual world, so to speak?
Absolutely. As we continue to determine how Nature in Your Neighborhood will flourish and change into the fall, we have opportunities for folks to share with us their skills in photography and video editing, or perhaps in leading a session in nature in your neighborhood if they have a particular area of expertise. And maybe they're not familiar with the tech, and like I said, that's something that we can train them on. But there are definitely ways to plug in to that program into the future. We will be continuing our community space in Nature in Your Neighborhood on iNaturalist and on Facebook going forward. So we're kind of launching ourselves out of the nest of the live events, but we will still be connecting together online, flocking together, if you will. So there's opportunities there. And again, I encourage folks to email me if they're interested in that. Additionally, with the move to phase three in Jefferson County, when that does occur, we will be starting up our Lend a Hand on the Land stewardship work parties again that generally run every second and fourth Tuesday. And we're really excited to get people back out on the land because that's what we do best is connect people to land. And so stay tuned for that. Again, you can either email me at info@faveland.org or head to our website to find out more about upcoming stewardship work parties where we do things like build trails and remove invasive plants and take care of the lands and steward the lands that the land trust has.
Rebecca, thank you so much. I'm so excited about this foray into a new territory, and I can't wait to check in with you in the future to find out where you are landing.
Thank you
for joining us today.
Thanks so much, Missy. It's been really fun.
I would like to thank our programming manager, Larry Stein, and all of the incredible volunteers who, in spite of the challenges to do so, tirelessly work to bring us local relevant news, uplifting stories, and eclectic music. You can also join us on the web at kptz.org. From live stream to archived programs, we are here for you. Now go out. No, really, get outside and make it a great day.